there should be a link in your comments section. If not, you would have got that probably before the service as well. So, yep, we'll switch to that now. And it's actually Pastor Tim, so that's hopefully this goes well.
Hi, folks. Glad to bring you the message again today, even on video. Thankful for this opportunity as well. So we ask you to open up your Bibles today to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. But before we open our word, before we get into it, let's come to God in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity again to open up your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift, Lord, of your amazing grace that we learn every time through your word. And let this be another time, Lord, that we learn about you and that we take something home so that we can live what you are saying to us in a very real way, God. You are good to us. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus. Amen. Again, I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And we'll begin reading at verse 10, Luke chapter 13, from verse 10, where it says, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, 'There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath.' The Lord answered him, 'You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?' When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing." That's as far as we'll read. What would it be like to be the woman in today's text? Imagine with me for a moment that you're hunched over, bent over, that everything that you need to do in life needs to be readjusted, that you live with chronic pain, that you can't straighten up. Everything is more difficult because now you have to go to the market in your hunched over state and to retrieve water from the well, to do the little errands and the household chores at home is a struggle. You've lowered everything at home down to where you could see it a little bit better. Everything is a struggle. You don't have many friends, likely. People look at you and they think that you have some sort of disease, maybe, or because often in those days it was a disease, or you look like if you were looked any different than anybody else, really, you had a disease and people just avoided you. So they don't really treat you like a leper, but it's not too far off of what a leper would be because you're in your hunched over state. And so you're living, or more like you're existing, but you're not really living. And for 18 years, this woman has had this problem. But you do have one highlight in life. You do have the synagogue. You are a Jewish woman, so the synagogue is part of your daily life. And the people at the synagogue, they know you. They know who you are. And they don't really look at you differently because they know you. You are a part of that group. You are a part of the family of believers. And you come together quite regularly to worship God. On one day, when you're in the synagogue, and happy to be there, mind you, because you are with all your friends, this is what you do, then Jesus shows up. He comes by. Now, you've heard about Jesus, likely, by this point. You've heard about him. You've heard that he's a healer and a miracle worker and all that stuff, but you really don't pay too much attention to that because you are there at the synagogue just to worship. And yet, Jesus looks at you, and he has compassion on you, and he calls you forward. Now, at first, you're probably looking around. You're going, well, you must be talking about... And Jesus says, no, I'm talking about you. You come forward. Now, bear in mind, she's got to crane her neck to look up at anybody. And so she makes her way over to Jesus. But as she's on her way over to Jesus, she's wondering, what is going to happen here? Is he going to mock me? Because I've been mocked enough in my life. Is he going to make fun of me or make an example out of me? Because I've been made an example out of too. But Jesus bends over with her. Imagine that. Him bending over with her, looking her in the eye, and saying, you are set free from your infirmity. Put one hand on your lower back, and one hand on your shoulder, and begin to stand up together with Jesus. And at first you're thinking, no, this is going to really hurt. I've tried this before. I tried that exercise, and it's going to kill. But it doesn't hurt. And all you feel is freedom and no pain, and you're feeling good as you stand up straight again. You're looking around much taller than you were before because now you're standing straight and tall. And the people are amazed. And you look at Jesus, you turn to him and look at him in the eye. In the eye! You can look at somebody in the eye! And you begin to praise God. Along with all the other people. What a story. What a story. What a miracle. Of course, the Jewish leader, the Jewish synagogue leader, he really doesn't like it a whole lot, does he? And he makes this sort of move in front of Jesus. You could just see him sort of moving in front of Jesus and saying to the people, there are 6 days for work, come and be healed on one of those days. Come and be healed on one of those days. The synagogue leader doesn't even address Jesus here. He addresses the crowd. He doesn't even bother to look at Jesus. He just turns away from him altogether, ignores him, and just addresses the crowd and say, this is against the rules. And yet, the woman is still healed. And yet the woman is still standing up straight because she is loosed, unbound, freed, untied, untethered from her sin. It's sort of ironic, isn't it? Because the synagogue leader, all he can think about as he looked straight past the miracle to the broken rule, All he can think about is that broken rule. Straight past the miracle. Straight past it. Didn't even acknowledge it. All he saw was a broken rule. He is still bound to sin, while the woman is freed from sin. Now, we want to make sure that we say this right, because the woman, because she was bound by sin and she had this bent over condition that she had, we want to make sure that not all bent over conditions are a result of direct sin. Like, because you are sinful, you've got COVID. Or because you sinned somehow, you've got pneumonia or some other disease, or you fell and tripped and broke a bone or something. It's not like that. Okay? But it is because of sin, generally, that there are diseases in the world. And it is because of sin that we fall and break our bones. And it is because of sin that we live with infirmities. Is because of sin that this woman, because it says it in the text explicitly, that this woman was infirm for those many years. She was affected by an evil spirit, says the text. Now, Jesus turns and looks at the synagogue leader and calls him a hypocrite, rightly so. He says, "You know the rules, hypocrite leader. You know the rules. The law says, yes, that there is no work on the Sabbath. But the law also says this," because Jesus knows the law too. "And the law also says this, that you are allowed to go out and untie your ox or donkey to lead it so that it can have some water." That's not only common sense, it's compassion for the animal. It's the proper way to own an animal. It's to go out and care for it. Now, can't this woman, a woman who is part of the chosen people that God chose, God himself chose, a descendant of Abraham, can't she now be unbound? Why can't she? It's amazing how the synagogue leader is so bound by the law as the woman is freed from the sin of the evil spirit. We got to wonder sometimes if we're like that. If we're like the synagogue leader at all. You see, because this, as the synagogue leader looked right past the miracle that was happening, right by it, only focusing in on the small, narrow thing of the law, comparatively. As he did that, we too, sometimes, look past the greater things that God has in store for us. You know, right now we're in the middle of visioning, or we're trying to restart this visioning process, trying to get it off the ground again, trying to make it happen again. We had worked hard to try to get it up and running by March and April. In fact, we were starting to bring in groceries for our big gala dinner that we were going to have at the beginning of April. And then COVID hit. And all that hit the back burner, of course. And so as we begin to look at revisioning or visioning again, we are just amazed at what God is doing. But sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're so focused in on a certain thing that we want to see happen in this church. Sometimes we're focused on, say, for instance, trying to get people in the pews because we know we want to see a full church if we can. We want to see how we can be totally effective in the community if we can. But because of the time in which we live, and especially because of COVID, which changed everything, we need to broaden our focus. And we need to look at what God is already doing. God is working His plan through us, in us, right now. Suddenly, you and I can do many things that we normally couldn't do, that we, before COVID, we wouldn't do. This is one of them, a video service. You likely would have had somebody else come up from a different town to be here with you today. And we probably will get back into that at some point, just not right now. But we can do this right now, this way. And because we can do this electronically now and remotely, we can go out into the greater cyberspace, YouTubes and Facebooks of the world, and be a light to people there. You and I are working together toward that. And wherever God's going to take this, we don't know. And we have to be ready for that. And we have to be open to that, that prospect that God's going to have it no matter what we do. We have to broaden our focus to see what God is already doing. Because when we see what God is already doing, we are seeing the beauty that comes along with it. We are seeing the beauty that comes along with a woman who is now standing up straight and the awe that's in her face as she is now proclaiming Jesus as her Lord and Savior too. We are seeing how God is healing. We are seeing in our day and age how He is moving forward. Now, it may not be to our liking or how quick enough or how quick it's happening. And we may be all together trying to figure out if we even want to be a part of a church anymore. All these difficult questions and difficult answers come up. But within that, we see God working too. Are we seeing the forest for the trees? Are we seeing right past the miracles, hoping to see what we know to be the pragmatic way of looking at things? Hoping to see our law in place, the way we've always done it? Or are we seeing God work in a new way? I think we need to be careful. But we also need to be happy that God is doing exactly what He wants to do. And we should be open enough to see it, so that we too can be praising God along with the woman, along with the crowd, and be amazed at what God is doing right in front of our eyes. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. And as we are visioning now, Lord, and figuring things out, help us not to take our eyes off the amazing things that You're doing already. And bless us, God, as we are focusing in on what You are doing. Help us to see what You are doing through us, God, so that we can honor You and praise You as we should. for you are indeed God. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.